Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. We are moving quickly here. Well, if you saw the video, you know Pastor's doing a lot better. And he's really upbeat. Still has a little bit of a cough here. Hopefully that gets better shortly. So there's a chance he might be here preaching Sunday morning. There's a chance he might not. But I told him if he did come Sunday morning, he could deliver you guys from hearing Exodus again. That didn't work at all. That was funny, trust me. Thank you. So anyway, I guess we'll see what happens. It may be me, it may be him. I guess I'll be ready either way. So we'll see where things at. I mean, I think he's pretty close, hopefully. So he'll be back in the swing of things. Exodus chapter 3. Just a quick reminder of where we're at. Moses was assigned to lead God's people out of the bondage of Egypt. God calls Moses from a burning bush. You don't see burning bushes every day. In the midst of the bush is the angel of the Lord. We call that a theophany. That's God's presence through in the form of an angel so that he can be seen by man. Moses is concerned about this mission to lead God's people. He feels inadequate. He doesn't think he's up to the task. And God assures him, you know, I'll be with you, and I'll help you to receive what you need to be successful. I will help you. And then Moses also asks, well, who should I say you are? Remember, they had so many gods back then. There was so many options. What God are they talking about? And so he says, I am that I am. He's the self-existent one. He doesn't depend on anyone else. He's completely dependent upon himself. And we get from Yahweh, we get the in your Bible, the Lord, all caps. That's what that's translated. That's what that means. So God says, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, a specific God. And you can be traced through that line of people. Let's look at verse 16 of Exodus 3. It says, go and gather the elders of Israel together and say unto them, so this is God giving Moses further instruction, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, appeared unto me, saying, I have surely visited you and seen that which is done to you in Egypt. And I have said, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt unto the land of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites unto a land flowing with milk and honey. And they shall hearken to thy voice, and thou shalt come and the elders of Israel unto the king of Egypt, and you shall say unto him, the Lord God of the elders of Israel unto the king of Egypt. I'm sorry. The Lord God of the Hebrews, the Egyptians called the Israelites Hebrews, hath met with us, and now let us go, we beseech. We beseech thee 3 days' journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. And I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go, no, not by a mighty hand. And I will stretch out my hand and smite Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in the midst thereof. And after that, he will let you go. And I will give his people favor in the sight of Egypt, the Egyptians, and it shall come to pass that when you go, you shall not go empty, but every woman shall borrow of her neighbor and of her that sojourneth in her house jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment, and ye shall put them upon your sons and upon your daughters, and ye shall spoil the Egyptians. Let's pray. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we pray as we look at your word, it would speak to us. Lord, I pray that we would receive this powerful text into our own lives. And Lord, I pray that you would teach us even as you taught your people. And Lord, we know that these things in the Old Testament are written for our learning. And so I pray that we would gain the lessons we need to for our Christian lives. And we ask this in your name. Amen. So God calls Moses to be a spiritual leader. This is Moses' job. Moses, you must be a spiritual leader and guide your people. Now, is Moses a great leader at this point? He's not a great leader at this point, right? The last time he's back in Egypt, remember, he murders a man and he flees for his life. That's how they remember him last. And so just imagine if you're Moses going back to that mess that you've created. That would be very embarrassing, wouldn't it? To go back to the scene of the crime. Now, for him to lead God's people is something that's very daunting to him. And God calls him to lead, and then God will talk to him about how to become a leader. And that's going to be the next few weeks that I'm up here, okay? We'll talk about God giving Moses direction on how to be an example, how to be a leader to others. Now, Moses is ready to learn. Remember, he's been humbled. He was confident before, but he's not so confident now. Remember, though, things started out good. Remember, he's the adorable baby that everybody wanted. And then he goes from that to being Pharaoh's grandson. He has all the prestige, everything to look up to. But since his mistake, suddenly he goes to shepherding. Now, in ancient times, shepherding was not a very glamorous thing to do. Shepherding was like the minimum wage job back then. Okay, it was just, it was the grimy physical labor. It didn't make a lot of money. Necessary, obviously. But for Moses to be a shepherd is not glamorous. You get this? And Egyptians actually despised shepherds and shepherding. And this is one of the reasons why Joseph's family comes and offers to be shepherds for them. They'd be like, great. We'd much rather have you do that than us. Okay? So shepherding is not a glamorous thing. This is where Moses is. And as I mentioned, Moses returns to the scene of where he's failed. You know, oftentimes the Lord has to let us fail before he can teach us something. It's been said the Lord has to break us before he could make us. A lot of times we think we know things, or we think we have things figured out, and until we've crashed and burned, we're just not ready for the message that God has for us. We're still clinging to our own confidence and to our own abilities. And so with Moses, he's ready to learn. He's ready to listen. I found an interesting article today by a man named John Chen. He was the CEO of BlackBerry. And he specifically would look for a certain type of person to hire. He would look for people who had taken big chances in their work careers and had failed. He would hire people that had failure in their past. And his reasoning was because they're willing to try something, number one. And number two, it's easier to teach them because they already know that they need to learn. They're not under the illusion that they've got it all figured out. And I know, I think the Lord sometimes has to bring us to that place where we're ready to listen to what he has to say. And, you know, humility is a wonderful thing. James talks about God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And humbling ourselves before God, that's what we need to do. A lot of times we think we have to figure things out and piece things together when we just need to be humble and let God do the talking. You know, God puts trials in our lives for a reason. And, you know, the sooner that we can humble ourselves and turn to God, then that's when the learning can begin. And the sooner we get there, you know, the more we can be blessed. So when you hit bumps in life and the road is not easy, this is the chance to ask for God's direction and help. So God will teach Moses how to be a spiritual leader. And we're going to go over this in the next few weeks ahead. Moses will lead millions of people. Think about this. He'll be a leader of millions of people, and he'll deal with Pharaoh, who hates him. Pharaoh's the most powerful man in the world, so he's got millions of people on this side. He's got a Pharaoh who hates him on this side. And he will lead this nation, and they will leave. They'll get up and go. They'll go to a new location. Logistical challenges there. There's all kinds of challenges with feeding this group, giving direction to the group. He's going to give them laws and culture from God. This is going to be some difficult things. So God will greatly use Moses, and Moses will be someone that we can look up to as a spiritual leader. But in Exodus 3, Moses is not there yet. So we're going to look at how God was teaching Moses to be a leader. And we're going to learn from that how we can be leaders. You know, God wants us also to be leaders. You can never have enough leaders in any, I don't care what ministry you have, any kind of spiritual ministry, they always are looking for new people to step up and help and new people that can lead. And when I say lead, I don't just mean being in charge. Sometimes we confuse being in charge with being a leader. How many of you, and I'll ask for a show of hands, how many of you ever have had a boss who was not a leader? How many of you ever had a boss? You know what I'm talking about? Oh, it's all terrible, it's broken, things are awful. And then they get upset and walk away and you're like, okay. Now what? So I would qualify that. I think the Lord wants us all to be spiritual leaders. It doesn't mean that we have to call the shots. But we can be examples to others. We can be the person that others turn to when they're having difficulty. We can keep the group together. We can keep cohesion. We can keep God's work moving forward. We can help people when they have problems. We can all be leaders. And I think God wants us all to step up in the church and be examples to others. So, God's going to talk to Moses about the importance of leadership. So in the text, God describes how Moses needs to show the important trait of leadership. And it will be the focus of our message. So today's message is, spiritual leaders communicate to God's people. So we're going to talk about communication today. You can't be a leader if you don't communicate. So today's lesson will just be communication. Okay, we'll take on another trait next time I speak, Sunday or Wednesday, whenever. We'll take on the next thing that God tackles. But today we're going to talk about communication. Okay, so the wives are all very excited at this point, I'm sure. But yeah, we'll talk about communication. This is not my favorite topic as a man. As much as I talk, you would think it'd be easy, but at some point I do run out. And it's about the time Jerry needs my help, usually. It's about when I hit the wall. So communication and men, this is never a good combination. So God talks to Moses, and he says, take the leaders, elders aside. You need to communicate with them. What's going to happen? So good leaders, we'd see, communicate. You ready for this? They communicate in advance. Ooh, this is a tough one, right? Communicate in advance. That means that they know what's going on. They figured it out. That means that they've thought about it. The wives are all loving this part, aren't they? Yeah, they're communicating. Everyone's on the. They're sharing the mission, sharing the vision. We know what's going to happen. This is what leaders do. Now, the men and women are different. Do I have to qualify this? I don't think I should have to. I guess in today's society, people have a hard time with this. But I'll say it. Men and women are different. So the man's brain is described as this. There's different compartments in ladies' brains, and they have different things going on in each compartment. And all the compartments go at once, and the compartments are all connected somehow. And so they're thinking about like eight things at once, you know? Whereas men have this, they have different compartments in their brain. There's like two compartments on the side, and there's one big compartment in the middle. And the compartment in the middle is called nothing. And they like to go into that compartment, and so their wife will ask them, what are you thinking about? And they say, nothing. And the wife asks, no, really, what are you thinking about? And they say, no, really, it's nothing. Women can't handle that kind of thing. They don't even know what that means. What do you mean, nothing? How can you think nothing? It's like I've done it my whole life. When I'm sitting here, like, the TV is on, but there's nothing happening. There's no brain waves, right? And sometimes I'll sit and I'll think, man, I wonder why my family doesn't do something different than what they're doing. And then I think to myself, you know what? One time it occurred to me, they're not even thinking what I'm thinking because I've never told them before. It never occurred to me. You have to, like, tell people things. So, yeah. It's difficult if you're a man. I'll just say it on behalf of all of us. Using words, you know, I think, I don't know what time it is, but eventually I go from talking to grunting, and that's like my next communication form. And then a few minutes later, I'll go from grunting to snoring. I think it just kind of melds, right? But if we're to be the leaders that God wants us to be, we have to use our words. We have to express what we see. We have to share vision with others and let them know in advance. This is what Moses needs to do. God tells him, you're going to go back to the elders. You're going to lay out the vision for them. You're going to explain to them what's coming up so that you can all be on the same page. You know, I think selfish people communicate when it's in their best interest. If I need something from you, I communicate with you. If you need something from me, then I'll get back to you when I get around to it, right? Because it's what's in my best interest. But someone who truly is a spiritual leader, they communicate so that others have expectations and they know what to expect, and it also avoids communication breakdowns and confusion. We don't want confusion. So if I can't be there, I'll let people know. Now I know you can't explain everything, and life can change. But to the best of my ability, I'm trying to let people know what I'm thinking and where things are at. So all that to say, communication. So this passage is going to talk about what should a spiritual leader communicate, and there's four areas of spiritual communication that God will share with Moses. The first area of spiritual communication is found in verse 16. It says, go and gather the elders of Israel together and say unto them, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham and of Isaac and Jacob, appeared unto me, saying, I have surely visited you and seen that which is done of you in Egypt. The first thing that spiritual leaders communicate is they're going to explain who God is. They're going to explain who God is. Who is God? God clearly expresses who that he is. He says, I am the Lord, capital Lord, L-O-R-D here. He's Yahweh, the self-existent one. He's the God of their fathers, the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God is the God of a specific group. He's not just generic God. You know, there's millions of versions of God in the world. Everyone has their own version of who God is. Well, he's a specific God. Okay, it's not just open to your interpretation or I heard someone the other day say, you know, talking about God in the Bible, well, this is where I'm at. Where are you at? It doesn't matter where I'm at. It is what it is, right? The scriptures say what God is. I can choose to accept it or I can choose to reject it. It's not my interpretation of it. Okay? So, God specifically lays out who he is. Okay? And he's also a God of specific chosen people. He worked through the nation of Israel to spread his message. Through them we have the scriptures. Okay? God directly worked through this line of people. And so, explaining who God is a specific God working through a specific people. Next, it talks about, he says, I have surely visited you, and I have seen that which is done to you in Egypt. God sees and is aware. And this phrase of seeing and awareing is used repeatedly. If you go back to Exodus chapter 2, verses 24 through 25, it says, and God heard their groanings, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, with Jacob, and God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them. So we see this idea. God is aware of the situation. Exodus 3:7, and the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrow. So this phrase keeps coming up. God sees and God's aware. God takes notice of his people. And, you know, sometimes when we pray, it's almost like we're letting him know something. That's what we think. Oh, you know, Jesus, I'm going to need some money here, or I've got a conflict, or, you know, something makes me feel afraid. You're not telling God anything new. He knows. Now, we're commanded to pray. We should bring those things to him. He can help us through that prayer. He can encourage us. Talking to him directly, having that relationship, that contact, can be reassuring in and of itself. But God is aware. God, he is everywhere, and he sees everything, and he does care. You know, we talked about Christ, he's touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He's gone through the same pain that we've gone through. And it talks about how he wept when he saw the sadness at Lazarus' death. He feels our pain and our sorrows. So God is a God who does care. So leaders need to explain who God is. And it's important that we teach. We teach our children. We talk about, we encourage other people with who God is. You know, God can do this. God is able. And I'm sure I don't always see all the things that God can do. And you know, of all the things that I do in this building, I think sometimes I worry about the wrong things. You know, how much am I teaching the Bible? How much am I putting young people to scriptures, even if it's just a quick verse? Because, you know, you think about what's going to last in relationships and what's going to last in how you minister to others. Well, God's word is going to last, right? God's word is eternal. And so, how can I teach this? How can I live this? How can I exemplify this to people around me? And so leaders are teaching God's word. Leaders are explaining who God is and training others. Christ talked about the person that follows the Bible and teaches others. And he talks about how that person is blessed on the Sermon on the Mount. And so that needs to be our priority, talking about who God is and reminding each other of who God is, teaching and explaining about God. So that's the first area of communication for leaders. Let's look at the second one. It's found in verses 17 and 18. And I have said, I will bring you up out of the afflictions of the Egyptians, Egypt, unto the land of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. And they shall hearken to thy voice, and thou shalt come, thou and the elders of Israel, unto the kings of Egypt, and you shall say unto them, the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, hath met with us, and now let us go, we beseech thee, 3 days' journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice unto the Lord our God. So, number two, spiritual leaders, they need to lay out the mission. Lay out the mission. What's the area of service? How are we going to help others? We should have plans for the Lord. But this is the specific mission that God gave to Moses. He's to deliver his people. He's going to bring them out of the affliction of Egypt into a land. It talks about a well-populated area. You have Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, Jebusites. This is the good real estate. This is a nice place to live. This is where people are going to want to live. This is where you're going to want to live. So God has good plans for them. A land flowing with milk and honey. This refers to natural resources, okay? An abundance of natural resources. This is going to be a really nice place. God has a really nice place for this people. A specific promised land that they can live at that'll be ideal for them. And he says this, He says, and they shall hearken to thy voice, and thou shalt come out. Pharaoh is going to listen to you. Now, this might be hard for them to listen to hear. Pharaoh? Pharaoh doesn't like anyone. Are you sure? Seems like he's all about his power. Why would he do that? But God gives them clear direction that Pharaoh will listen to them. He says, 3 days journey in the wilderness to worship. 3 days journey in the wilderness there to worship God. Now, sometimes people take this literally as a 3 days in the wilderness to worship God. I want to suggest to you this is metaphorical speech. And this is the fact that they're leaving. This is what they're saying. We're leaving. Okay? Now, Pharaoh's not interested in this, obviously, because the free help is going to be missed. And so he's going to want to say no because he's selfish. But let me give you examples of other ways that we use metaphor like this. So 3 days speech, three days journey to the wilderness, this means that we're leaving forever. So let me give you some other examples in English of how we say things less, but we mean something more. For instance, let's say your teenage son or daughter asks you, hey, mom and dad, can I borrow the car keys? What do they mean? Do they mean they want to sit on the couch just holding those keys and looking at them? Thank you for these keys. It's been 5 minutes. You can have it back now. Now, when they ask you for the car keys, they want to go somewhere with their friends, right? They're going to jump in the car. They might even put gas in if you're lucky, but they're going to go out. They're going to pick up Murgatroyd and Eloise and go to a game or the mall or whatever they do, right? So this is an example. Can I borrow the keys? This really means I want to go out for a ride somewhere. This is kind of what they did, 3 days during the wilderness. Let me give you another example in English. Has anyone had something they wanted to discuss with you? And they said, hey, you got a second? Yeah. It's going to be more than a second, let me just tell you. Okay, but that's the phrase we would use. We would say something, hey, you got a second? And then you have a conversation. Now, hopefully it doesn't last too long, but the idea is that you have a conversation about something real quick. Okay, so 3 days journey in the wilderness, it's a metaphor. It means they're leaving. Okay, let's just be clear about that. So, This is the plan. So, and I think as Christians, as leaders in whatever ministry you have or whoever you're able to help, we should have plans. We should be able to communicate that. And people need to know what's happening, okay? And the sooner they can know, the better. Now, sometimes things can change. You know, you can't control everything. There's no perfect communication. But as much as I can avoid obstacles, it would be great. So, many, many years ago, I went to seminary, and I took a class on a class on the church and church leadership and whatever else. And so they had this is the best class, one of the best classes I ever took. It was a lot of fun. It was like Sim Church. So everybody got a position in the so-called church, and then they would give us emails every day of problems. We'd have staff meetings and come up with solutions for things, and then. The whole day you walked around having meetings and trying to resolve issues. You had a youth conflict and someone got hurt in your gymnasium, and at the Christian camp someone broke their leg or whatever. And you got angry emails from parents. And they had someone assigned to follow you around all week and write down everything that you said. And at the end of the week, they would tell you as you made decisions how your decisions turned out. And they would tell you everything that you communicated and how you did or didn't communicate very well and how people reacted to you when you didn't realize. And it was very revealing. I guess it'll be like the judgment seat of Christ. I think there'll be some surprises in here. It was kind of like that. So in this Sweetbriar Baptist Church was the name of the church. I became the senior pastor of a very large church. And the guy that was the staff person in charge of the camp dropped out, so I had to do church and staff. And I had an assistant pastor, and he was way too ambitious. And I should have nipped him in the bud, but I didn't. I just let him run wild because I didn't know what I was doing. And they corrected me at the end. But anyway, the guy's not even a pastor right now, although he teaches at a Bible college. He teaches at your Bible college. That's another story. He was very excited, though. He's a smart guy. But anyway, one of the things they said to me, and this was life-changing, was they said that communication for me, being clear in communication, is a problem. So they said, this is what you need. This is the guy who talked to me. He sat me down at the end. It was Professor George Kuhn. He's a very nice guy. But he said, communicating vision. He's like, you have 1,000 ideas. You say them all, and then you walk away, and we don't know which one you're going to go with. He's like, you know what you're good at? He told me this. I'm getting far afield here. He said, you're the kind of person, if I went on a long car ride, I'd have you come with me because you'd keep me awake. I said, well, thank you. I think that was a compliment. I'm still deciding. Anyway, He says, you have what you need to do when someone talks to you, you need to repeat back to them what they just said and how you interpreted it and what you thought about it. And that was life-changing for me. And I think communication sometimes is asking questions and repeating back or summarizing when you're done talking to the person. Okay, well, we've talked about this and we've agreed on this or whatever else. So those are my communication tips. Communicate, have vision, be clear. All right. Tip number three here, communication, found in verses 19 and 20. And I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go. No, not by a mighty hand, and I will stretch out my hand and smite Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in the midst thereof. And after that, he will let you go. Tip number three is, be realistic about obstacles. Be realistic about obstacles. If you're communicating and you're dealing with people and you're dealing with ministry, there's going to be problems, okay? I've been in ministries where they sugarcoat it. Oh, it's fine. It's wonderful. And you're like, it's not really fine and wonderful. And then that's discouraging. You can be too negative. Sometimes people have thought I've been negative. I need to work on being positive. But on the other hand, you can be discouraged by problems and make that your focus. So God is telling Moses, you know, you're going to tell him you're going to have problems. It's not going to go the way you think. You're going to have obstacles. You're going to have to overcome that, and you need to have that overcoming spirit. You can't be the discouraged person, right? And, you know, every ministry gets excited, and things are going wonderful, and then something goes wrong. And when that goes wrong, you got to roll the punches. So if you're a leader, you keep communicating. We're going to work through this. Somebody once told me that there's three F's in ministry. You've got to be friendly. You've got to be faithful. But then again, you've got to be flexible. Because something always goes wrong, right? It doesn't matter if it's NBT, if it's Awana, you know, someone can't come, or, you know, Johnny hits his head. Like, there's always something, right? It's important that we not allow those things to bog us down or be discouraged, okay? So if you're a leader, you're going to have to talk people through those things. They're going to have setbacks. Now, Moses knew about setbacks, right? He's in Midian in a desert for 40 years. He got it, right? he knows what it's like to persevere. And so he knows about setbacks. So we need to be aware of setbacks too. And we can't just fold like a lawn chair when things go wrong. And, you know, Satan wants to discourage a good thing from happening. And so when good things happen, there's always something that goes wrong. You know, something happens, someone gets hurt, whatever. We got to keep fighting through and keep working through that. Because, you know, there's trial comes before blessing, right? And so if I just give up, then I'll never get where God has something for me. I'll never actually see it. Or that vision won't be fulfilled if I just give up. So be prepared for setbacks. Be realistic about obstacles. Explain, you know, this is hard, this is difficult. Or you make a video if you're sick. I'm getting better, right? You're going to persevere, you're going to keep going, and things will be fine. All right. So we're talking about communication as leaders, and we laid out a few of the communication. And the fourth tip on communication we see is found in I should back up real quick. Verse 20. God says, I will stretch out my hand and smite Egypt with all my wonders. The word smite here is the idea of smack. So the idea of wonders is not like watch the fireworks and say, ooh, this is nice. It's like bad things are happening to you and you're going to be like, whoa. That's the idea in the modern vernacular here. You'll be like, what's happening? So God will do wonders, but it will be painful is the idea here. Okay? All right. Let's look at tip number four of communication. Number four. It's found in verses 21 and 22. It says, and I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, and it shall come to pass that when you go, you shall not go empty. But every woman shall borrow of her neighbor, and of her that sojourneth in her house, jewels of silver, jewels of gold and raiment, and you shall put them upon your sons and upon your daughters, and you shall spoil the Egyptians. So God says, at the end here, well, point number four is point God's people toward their future blessing. Point God's people to their future blessing, reminding them what's ahead of us, okay? We're going to persevere because there's something good on the other side of this. God says that he will give his people favor with Egypt. And the word favor here, Moses uses it three times in the scripture. And another time he uses it in a similar fashion is Genesis 39:21. He talks about Joseph having favor with the warden of Pharaoh's prison. And he really liked him, and he really wanted to help him. Okay? And so God will make the Egyptians to help Does this sound like a strange thing that would happen? Now, I know Pharaoh is suspicious of the Israelites. That's why he's so hard on them. Remember the midwives that helped? Remember Pharaoh's daughter? Others in Egypt don't necessarily have this animosity. And if they're going to go on this long journey and set up a new country, they're going to need the resources to do it. Where will the resources come from? Well, God uses the Egyptians to provide those resources because he will give the Israelites favor with them. Isn't that kind of a unique way that God provides? And so God will bless them, and they will have the resources they need, and they'll be able to go, and they'll be blessed by the Lord. You know, we need to remember in times of trial that we have to persevere and look towards the blessings ahead of us. You know, I think back to many of the believers that were believers under the former Soviet Union and the churches that met in secret because they were oppressed by the government. And the music in that part of the world is different than here. A lot of stuff's played in a minor key and kind of sounds sad. And many of the songs that they would sing would be about heaven. And a lot of their songs are, you know, things are bad down here, we're suffering, we're struggling. But someday we'll go to heaven and things are going to be great. We'll have plenty of help and food and we won't have to hide anymore and whatever else, right? And so I think that's a powerful thing to help them get through. And, you know, we need to be thinking long-term as believers, not just get caught in the daily grind of I have this problem or I'm working through this or this person's upset. We need to look forward to our future reward. We don't live for this world. This world is temporary. We look forward to another city whose builder and maker is the Lord. And that will help us. And if we can point others towards that, I think that's what spiritual leaders do. They encourage by pointing others towards that end. So, to summarize real quick, we've talked about spiritual leadership as the exemplified by Moses and what he'll become, God teaching him. We talked about leaders, how they communicate. We worked on communication tonight. I wonder, what kind of a communicator are you? And are you encouraging with your words? Are you a good example to others? Are you pulling people together? Are you love glue in the groups that you're in? You're getting people together and moving everyone towards a common goal? Are we working through problems with people and talking through them? Are we encouraging? And are we pointing others towards eternity? You know, God helped Moses to be a great leader, and I hope that he helps each one of us to be great leaders for him and that we can be an encouragement towards others. Let us pray. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for